Right now, however, we are going to focus in on the San Francisco mayoral race. Next Tuesday, San Franciscans will go to the polls to elect a new mayor, as well as the district attorney seat will be decided as well. Last night, as you just heard on the news, Matt Gonzalez, supervisor, and Supervisor Gavin Newsom were participated in a televised debate, which lasted an hour, I believe, and was very interesting. Maybe you had a chance to see some of it. We, in fact, hoped to present a radio debate between the two today. Unfortunately, Gavin Newsom declined to participate and join us this morning, saying he was too busy, but we're very happy that Matt Gonzalez, the Green Party candidate for mayor, joins us. So, Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Andrew. It's my pleasure.
And how are you feeling after that wrangling last night?
Well, you know, I started to lose my voice about a day and a half ago, and so it's come back, and it's nice to be able to project some sound.
Well, we're very pleased that you can do that as well. One of the things that I noticed about the debate last night was that it seemed like there was a 100 or 1,000 pound elephant in the room, that being Mayor Willie Brown. How much do you feel that you're running against Willie Brown's legacy as well as running against Gavin Newsom?
Well, you know, it got very unusual once I got into a runoff. Mayor Brown took a real interest in getting involved and has launched many attacks against me, beginning with an idea that I'm too radical, that I'm a communist or something like that. Then he started attacking me. He went so far as to say my views were, you know, from outer space. He's told people that he believes I'm a racist. He's made these kinds of allegations, and, you know, he's doing it really on behalf of the Newsom camp, so that they can kind of try not to go there and just let the mayor handle it. So in some respects, it's become a fight with the mayor, not only to respond to the charges, but to let people know what I think the shortcomings are of the Brown administration.
Well, since you brought that up, I would really love it if you could address the concerns about you supposedly being a racist, because perhaps people haven't heard that before and might be thinking, whoa, what's that about?
Well, you know, you can make a charge like that without any facts.
Exactly.
You know, I worked as a public defender for 10 years after graduating from Stanford Law School. And, you know, frankly, most of my clients were African-American and Latino folks who couldn't afford to hire an attorney. And I don't think, you know, somebody takes that path in life if they don't have some commitment to trying to undermine the racism that does exist in our society, the kind of economic inequalities. Certainly as a legislator, I'm proud to say that I voted against more of Mayor Brown's commissioners that he's nominated than any other supervisor. And frankly, I think that I didn't vote against enough of them. By and large, he liked to pick people who either had no experience in the particular subject matter that he was making the appointment for, you know, they were primarily just political donors.
Mm-hmm.
The Public Utilities Commission, for instance, one of our five commissioners is the wife of former columnist Herb Cain. Recently, Brown tried to appoint Andrew Lee, who's the son of one of his big donors, Julie Lee. And these are people that when they appear before the committee for confirmation, they're not able to speak in terms that make you confident that they're going to oversee over $3 billion worth of contracts for the Hetch Hetchy, you know, rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
I have supported many people of color to commissions, certainly many African Americans, Leroy King to the Redevelopment Agency, Kimberly Brandon to the Port Commission, Reverend Edgar Boyd to the Planning Commission, Lisa Feldstein to Planning. And the list goes on. I could, you know, just name them. But, you know, unfortunately, a charge like that gets made. And as you say, people say, well, what's this about?
Matt Gonzalez, you brought up the Redevelopment Commission and a couple of other things I want to ask you about. But that we talked about earlier on the show this week about the idea that perhaps there's a grab to gentrify the Hunters Point District, much like what happened in the Fillmore years ago, you know, it not being very beneficial to the residents of that neighborhood. I know that you are endorsed by the Bayview newspaper. So I wonder if you could address that issue of this. And I know there was a meeting meeting at the Redevelopment Commission on Tuesday yesterday about that very issue. Your thoughts on that redevelopment grab, as our citizen activists described it?
Well, you know, it's pretty much a plan amendment that would include over 1,000 acres into the redevelopment area that's already out in the Bayview Hunters Point area. And one of the major components of it is sort of giving the green light to Lennar developers to develop Parcel A, which, depending on who you speak to, is not there's not a lot of confidence that the parcel is ready for development in terms of, you know, its toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a concern that this is a developer that's going to come in, develop something, and leave town. And years from now, we're going to be dealing with the after effects, health effects. There's also concern that the public isn't getting enough of a benefit, that there isn't the kind of long-term affordability plan for the housing that's being proposed, that there isn't sufficient, you know, community retail space and things like that. You know, obviously these are major issues. About a year ago, one of my colleagues, Supervisor Chris Daly, sought to bring the redevelopment agency under the authority of the Board of Supervisors, because we were having so much trouble with the agency. His efforts failed, and I think now people are looking back at that effort and saying, you know, boy, that was so important, and we weren't, you know, fighting that battle. We didn't help Chris and Matt and, you know, the couple of other supervisors that were willing to try to make that happen. And, of course, as a result, you have a redevelopment agency commission that has a lot of power in terms of making that development decision.
Matt Gonzalez, you also mentioned that Willie Brown accused you of having ideas from outer space, and I don't know if that was a direct quote, but Gavin Newsom last night was quoted as saying, it's time to unite around real solutions to real problems. We see the world, meaning you and he, with different eyes. Mine are not exclusively ideological. And I wonder if you could address this issue that somehow your ideas and your plans are out there somewhere and not realistic, and that Newsom's are.
Well, you know, particularly in the context of homelessness, here's a guy who ran a campaign with $2 million telling everybody that he was going to give the poor housing, food, medicine, job training, you know, just kind of laid it all out there. Well, naturally, the voter goes to the polls and says, hey, that sounds great. You know, we want the poor off the street. I want to give them housing, too. And his measure passed by a wide margin. When we got a closer look at it, however, the budget analysts and others started taking a close look at it. They acknowledged that, gee, there's no guaranteed services. We know the services don't exist right now. So why is this guy in such a hurry to implement a component of it, which is taking the cash away without a service plan in place? And that's simply about his mayoral run. It's not a real solution. This is the kind of illusory promises politicians have been making for years. If I'm an ideologue for telling the truth, well, so be it. But this is a guy who represents the wealthy. He's raised over $4 million in this campaign. He, you know, he's getting his money from, you know, employees of Bechtel, from all kinds of Republican sources, and yet he wants to make a claim that he's a good Democrat. I think he's the one that's ideological, and I think if he's elected mayor, there are many people that are going to suffer.
We're speaking with Supervisor Gavin Newsom, who's a candidate for mayor in San Francisco. Matt Gonzalez, sorry about that. Matt, we heard that Al Gore endorsed Gavin Newsom, and also I think many watchers were surprised when Angela Alioto endorsed him as well. I know you've also gotten a lot of endorsements. Maybe you could tell us some of the key ones, and if you want to comment on those other two endorsements that went Newsom's way and whether you were surprised by them.
Well, I was not particularly surprised by Al Gore. I mean, I don't know anybody in San Francisco that's waiting to make a decision in the mayor's race based on what Al Gore does. He doesn't seem particularly well informed on the local political scene. And if he had been, I wonder if he would have supported, like I said, somebody who gave money to the Republican Party just weeks before Bush defeated him in the presidential race. The failure of Newsom and Gore just to have a discussion about that, I think really says something to the Democrats in this town, which is that this is that this effort to make it into Green versus Democrat thing is rather phony. I mean, I joined the Green Party for its good Democratic values, and that's why Democrats have worked with me and are supporting me in the race. There are a number of supervisors, city supervisors from the Democratic Party who've endorsed me, including Tom Amiano, Jake McGoldrick, Aaron Peskin, Gerardo Sandoval, and Chris Daley. I have the support of the public defender, Jeff Adachi, former Mayor Art Agnos, member of the school board, Eric Marr, who I believe also serves on the Democratic County Central Committee. Mm-hmm. I have the support of Julio Ramos, who's one of the Community College Board trustees. And I have some a couple of Democratic clubs that have been courageous enough to break the Democratic charter and endorse me, including the Harvey Milk LGBT Club and the Bernal Heights Democratic Club. I have environmental groups behind me, the Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, a group called San Francisco Tomorrow, and the Green Party as well. So, we're feeling certainly from a point of view of local endorsements that it's a competitive race. Angela Alioto's endorsement came as a surprise to us. Of course, she's entitled to support whoever she wants to, but I think many of her supporters were deeply disappointed in her, given the fact that she had just spent a year telling everyone how this guy was making a name for himself in politics by attacking the poor, and for her to partner up with him under a belief that she's going to share political power with her just seemed pretty transparent.
Matt Gonzalez, our guest, and we have a few minutes to open the phone lines to callers who might want to ask a question of him at 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425. Again, the election coming up this Tuesday for mayor in San Francisco, Matt Gonzalez, the Green Party candidate running against Gavin Newsom, who's running as a Democrat. I guess I'm also curious, what if, and with this worst-case scenario, what if you were not elected as mayor? What would you do in terms of San Francisco city government if that were to be the case?
Well, I currently serve as the president of the Board of Supervisors, so in many respects I would be in that post and continue my work at City Hall representing District 5 here that includes the Western Addition, Haight-Ashbury, Hayes Valley, Cole Valley, Theater Sunset, Japantown, and that's what I would do.
So, and you think you would be very able to work with the Board of Supervisors as mayor or continuing to work as on the board if Gavin Newsom is elected?
Well, I don't want to overstate the thing. I mean, I think Gavin would face a lot of gridlock if he's going to continue to offer illusory promises, because I don't think the board is interested in simply giving him a mandate or something like that. I think if I were elected, it would be a much smoother transition, have a good relationship with my colleagues, and I think they appreciate the way I've exercised power as the president of the Board of Supervisors. I have not been a vindictive leader, and I try very much to, mediate some of the disputes that come up from time to time among the members.
Let's go to our first caller, Wendy, calling in from San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning. Matt, I have one question for you, and I must say in advance that I find your campaign and your stances far superior to Newsom's. What I do have a question about is there seems to be a talk amongst people in San Francisco about your stance on museums in the city and an underground parking lot in Golden Gate Park, and I wonder where you stand on this issue.
I'm sorry, there seems to be an issue about what now?
About your support of the local museums within San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And I do wonder about, where you do stand on your support of the museums, because many of them receive both private and city funding. And
I'd be glad to tell you. Before I got into elective office, the voters approved building this underground garage in Golden Gate Park. I was not supportive of it. I contemplated for a bit maybe mounting a challenge to it, but I think generally it's not a good thing to just revisit an issue that's been presented to the voters in a particular way and a clear decision's been made. And obviously I wanted to work on some other issues, instead of runoff voting, planning commission reform, raising the minimum wage. Nevertheless, when the environmental impact report document came to the board, I thought that it was deficient. What it lacked was a real consideration of a kind of project area EIR that would have taken into account not just the garage being built, but some of the other projects that are in the area, with the renovation of the Academy of Sciences and the Young Museum, et cetera. So I voted against it. That was the Young Museum EIR. Then there was the parking garage EIR that came to us as well. I voted against that for the same reason. And nevertheless, I think both votes had supermajority support. There have been a number of concerns. One was that we lost some of the pedestrian tunnels that had some historical significance. There's concern that private money, which was supposed to build this garage, it wasn't sufficient to cover all the costs. So there was a very elaborate financing put together to allow public monies to pay for the building of the garage, in contradiction to the original promises when the measure went to the voters. There were some other disputes about where the entrance to the garage would be. Voters had been promised that they would be able to access the garage from outside of the park, things like that. So,
you're not anti-museum?
Oh, no, I've been a big supporter of the arts, and I go to the museum whenever, quite frequently, and have attended dinners, despite my votes. And ironically, I am the only city supervisor at these dinners, because I genuinely take an interest in the work. And, it makes for everyone being just a little bit uncomfortable sometimes when they see their chief opponent walk in the room to celebrate, Frank Lobdell or whoever the artist is. But I think, these are not political decisions in my mind as much as a strict decision based on the EIR document itself.
Let's go next to Frankie calling in from San Francisco. Frankie, hi.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. I just wanted to say that, I think there's a lot of people out there in San Francisco that are excited about possibly having a Green Party mayor, and like a lot of your views, but I think there's also some concern out there that maybe you're not as willing to sort of negotiate and work with some of the local people and some of the local interests here. And in particular, I think I wanted to discuss the minimum wage. I think, Bill, if I'm correct, you were the sponsor of, and that you drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the big concerns in this situation here, I think, where it comes to tipped employees. Now, I'm a business owner. I've always paid double or triple minimum wage to people, and more than that whenever possible. I totally believe in a minimum wage, and I think it should be more than $8.50 an hour. But I think when it also comes to tipped employees, there's a concern that, they are making a lot more than minimum wage, and everyone, understands that. But it seems to be that there's so much concern in the restaurant business right now that it's going to cripple a lot of restaurants. It's obviously a huge tourism and a huge, aspect of San Francisco, our restaurants. And it's going to be pretty crippling to a lot of the restaurants having to pay minimum wage to people who are tipped employees, who are obviously making a lot more than minimum wage with their tips. So it's not that, these restaurant
Frankie,
owners don't want to.
Well, thanks very much. I want to give Matt a chance to respond and also maybe get in another caller. So, Matt, can you address the caller's concerns?
Yeah, sure. I've negotiated thousands of times as an attorney. I think I'm very skilled at it. I think some of my colleagues tend to, when they negotiate, to try to hammer out a resolution too quickly, and sometimes don't get a, sufficient deal in the making, in the bargain. And so there have been some differences about that. But, certainly, just to give an example, in Japantown, through a planning process there, I probably had 5 meetings with leaders in the community in my office, where each meeting took place for over 4 hours. That was to try to work out compromises relating to how the planning process in the future of Japantown would take place. So I think your misgivings on that score may be incorrect. The tip issue is an interesting one, because we did contemplate the whole tip issue. The state of California is one of the maybe 14 states or so that has a minimum wage above the federal minimum wage. In half of those states, about 7 of them, do not acknowledge a tip credit in their minimum wage. California is one of those states. So there was a concern of what would happen if a municipality broke out of that that routine. And so there was a concern that we should not have a tip credit and do something different than the way the state was calculating minimum wage. Michael Reich from the University of California, Berkeley, studied the wage impacts, particularly the impacts on restaurants, and found that the impacts would be negligible. He also found that for the most part, if we had had a tip credit, the minimum wage wouldn't have been $8.50. It probably would have been closer to $10.50. In other words, we kept the number as low as it was precisely because of this impact. I'll just finally add that what a lot of people don't realize is, when you raise minimum wage, you're putting more money in the pocket of people who live in a jurisdiction, and they end up spending it in that jurisdiction, and it often helps to revitalize the economy in that respect.
Let's quickly go to Sherry calling in from San Francisco. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi. I want to say hi to the future mayor of San Francisco. I attended the meeting of the Redevelopment Agency last night on the issue of the development of Hunters Point. One of the things that was extremely troubling to me was that the room had been stacked beforehand with people who were in favor of the proposal for the developer. The entire process, I think, had cut out low-income people from the community, and only those who are in the system and who would already profit by it were allowed to speak first. And then the public comments were so controlled so that the impression left on the Redevelopment Agency board members was one of the community in total support of a process that had been closed. And I want you to address quickly, if you can, the issue of how meetings of committees of the government of San Francisco would be conducted under your administration.
And Matt, if you could do that in about a minute or so, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's a lot you could do about stopping folks from bringing out their supporters. I mean, obviously you saw it for what it was. I mean, it's a very orchestrated effort to bring people out in support. We've certainly seen people come out to give public testimony or even paid to do so. And it makes opponents of a development like that really have to do the same. And you certainly can't control that.
Matt Gonzalez, again, we really appreciate you taking the time, especially after the debate yesterday, to participate in our show today. Matt Gonzalez, candidate for mayor in San Francisco. Good luck in the election.
Thank you, Andrea.
Again, the election coming up on Tuesday, and a reminder that we did try long and hard to get Gavin Newsom to join us, and he declined to participate, saying he was too busy. Coming up after the news, Bill Tallon, the Reverend Billy, will join us to talk about the Church of Stop Shopping. Here's Kelly Denson with the headlines.